Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No other Christian program will bring you content like this. This is Wretched Radio. There's a good reason other Christian programs wouldn't talk to you about personal pronouns. Nobody would listen and they'd be off the air. Nevertheless, because it happens to be a thing. That's right. I've got a thing. You've got a thing. There are just certain things. If it isn't done this way, it kind of gets up your nose. And so it is with personal pronouns. I do believe, thanks to all of the people who apparently are also grammar Nazis. Can I use the word grammar these days, or is that offensive? Grammar Nazis sent in information about a conundrum that I can actually spiritualize. That's right. Not only will we talk about something nobody else would even consider thinking about, we're going to Christianize it. What is a personal pronoun? It is a pronoun that replaces a person. And I think there was a reason for that. Because people used to be esteemed as different than things and animals. And yet these days we see, here it comes. This is my Christian application for this diatribe that I just have to get off my chest. You see, I think that there is a conspiracy going on, once again, to bring human beings down to the level of animals. Instead of saying, who did that? We say, that did that, which makes us the same as the animals, which is why if you are going to use a relative clause, which means it's a little parenthetical, a little set-apart statement that helps us understand the subject better, a relative clause, it's related to that word, let's make sure, Christians, that we don't buy into the schemes of the world and use the word that when it's referring to a person. We use who. Thank you. Thank you very much. I feel so much better now, and especially
who or whom?
Oh, no, not that. That's a different deal altogether.
Oh, sorry.
That's another. It has been said that the English language is the easiest to learn, but the hardest to learn well. And I get that. We've got rules and goofy things that are just not big principles and ideas. Structured language like Latin. Oh, talk about structured. Boringly so, but nevertheless, it sets you up to understand how stuff works. There used to be a day when we would teach that in schools. Yeah. I'm musing about the past. Let's get to church news, shall we?
Jesus Christ, the Lord.
That's all that song needed.
The church is one foundation. Now, there's a statement right there. By the way, it's not Peter. Jesus was making a little play on words when he was talking about that rock, that boulder, that pebble. Jesus is the foundation, and he is Lord, not buddy, not chum. She, the church, is his new creation. In other words, we're something different than Israel. That's right. I just went ahead and tiptoed into the waters of an eschatological debate. We don't replace Israel. We are the church. It is a new creation. And we are going to travel the globe to see what's up with that new creation. Gotta tell you, if you have ever been tempted, dear pastor, you're an elder in your church, you've thought, maybe we just need to lighten up. Maybe we just need to back off a little bit on being so demanding about theology. If you become tempted by that to the point of actually changing some of your stances on important and sometimes even essential Christian theology, you're going to go the way of the dinosaur. How many more examples do we need to encourage conservative Bible-believing Christians that the Bible being preached faithfully is what grows a church, not pragmatism, not watering down theology to make it palatable to pagans? Preach the word, you grow. Well, you shrivel up and die. And furthermore, might I also just offer this to the Southern Baptist Convention, if you're listening. There's going to be a big old meeting. About a month, give or take. And the debate about the role of women in the church is going to take place. If you're even tempted to have that conversation, could I encourage you and warn you that even entertaining a debate on the subject, which is the way the camel's nose always gets under the tent, we just want to have a conversation. We want to restudy the issue. We don't need to. It couldn't be more clear if it were a button hook in the well water. I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over men. Translated, that means I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over men. This is very complicated. What Paul was saying is, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over men. There's no conversation. There's no debate. When that begins, it is a quick, slippery slope into the land of the ELCA, which just ordained, or just whatever they do in the ELCA, a transgendered person into the role of bishop. That's where you're going. You go, no, we're not. That's what the ELCA thought 40 years ago. That's what the Methodist Church thought. Well, we'll just have a conversation. It won't get out of control. Oh, it will. And the next thing you know, you're going to be looking at your church and going, what happened here? And you will be in the camp of dying Protestant liberalism. I should say liberal Protestantism, but I think I like Protestant liberalism because it seems they're more liberal than they are Protestant. Speaking of the ELCA electing its first transgender bishop, I'm reading this article on this story, and I'm like, speaking of grammar, what is up with their pronouns? Forget relative pronouns, like I like the person who was nice to me versus I hate the dog that bit me. See, there's a difference between people and canines right there. I'm reading this article. See if you can pick up on this. I don't think it will take you long. So here's the headline. ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, they used to be Lutheran, but they're not that anymore. Nor are they a church. They are universalist to the core. They have gone so far off the track of orthodoxy, it's almost unrecognizable, and they are dying. Electing its first transgender bishop. Let me read to you some information about this. Listen very, very carefully. This is a quote from the transgender bishop. The people who were in my religion classes with me would sing hymns when I walked by, try to get rid of my gay demons. And I would just sing harmony. I didn't know what to do, they said. Huh? I had to go back and reread the sentence. This is a quote from the transgender person. It continues. In 2002, they moved to San Francisco. The ELCA moved? No. The transgender bishop moved. They said in documents stating their qualifications for bishop that their priorities would be to hire a communications professional. So apparently this person's pronouns are plural. Does grammar mean nothing? This is why I care. This is ridiculous. We're calling a single a plural. Why? Well, because that is our current world. And please note that last quote, by the way. I would have been like this. I'm certain of it if God hadn't saved me. The transgender bishop said in documents stating their qualifications for bishop that their priorities would be to hire a communications professional, not evangelize, advertise. That is what that language means. This is not about soul winning. This is just trying to get people into your church. And hopefully they'll give a little bit, because I'd have to believe that the coffers are shriveling up in the ELCA. How much legacy money can they possibly have there? If you are a Southern Baptist and you're debating the subject, please don't. I would encourage us all right now to perhaps use stronger language on some of these subjects. I read, for instance, J.D. Greer, the president of the SBC, called Saddleback's decision to ordain three women as pastors disappointing. Disappointing? How's about wildly unbiblical and sinful? How's about some stronger language here? I get it. There's a polite atmosphere in the SBC, and that is often honorable. But when it comes to issues of clear, straightforward Bible teaching, when a church goes off the rails, it is a time for, hey, we're talking about sin here. You're in big trouble, and you're leading people astray here. And you're going to threaten to water down the entire convention. Please. Don't entertain or muse this subject, because the next thing you know, them is going to be in trouble. This is Wretched Radio. If and you think there are assaults on biblical truth in the good old U.S. of A., oh, travel overseas. Those assaults do not stay inside of our borders, and that is why Dr. John MacArthur, leading the Master's Academy International mini-seminaries all throughout the world in 17 different nations, equipping pastors to rightly divide the word, fill empty pulpits, and defend the truth.
The foundation of all ministry is having a firm grasp of the authority and inerrancy of Scripture. The age of tolerance in which we live has caused guys to soften their message, which means you eliminate certain things in Scripture or you soften the message. Young guys that are coming into the ministry need to reaffirm their commitment to the authority and power of Scripture.
Please support that effort through the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for joining us today for another episode of Wretched Radio. We certainly appreciate you and appreciate your time. We also want to point you in the direction of our newest resource, Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3. It's a 63-lecture series that biblically tackles issues like abuse, self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, bullying, and suicide. If it's your first exposure to biblical counseling, prepare to be staggered at the Bible's ability to diagnose and counsel those who are struggling simply just to live another day. The devil is good at what he does, but Jesus is much better at what he does, which is telling the truth and giving life abundantly. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 opens the door to the Bible like you've never experienced it before. Check it out right now and order your copy today for yourself and those in your life that you know are struggling. Wretched.org/counseling3. That's wretched.org/counseling3.
Yes, you want to save money because, after all, you're a Christian and that's what we want to do, save money, but never at the expense of our family's health and peace of mind should a family member fall ill. That is why I'd like to commend you MediShare, the gold standard of healthcare sharing. You will save, on average, $500 per month as a family. How much will you save? It takes 2 minutes. 844-34-BIBLE. And if you think, well, this isn't very good, you get free telehealth services with MediShare, a huge network of doctors with MediShare, and great customer support. And fellow Christians will pray for you. MediShare, 400,000 members strong. Peace of mind and savings. Simply call 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called God and Savior. If Jesus were only human, his death could not have paid our debt. But Jesus is both man and God, able to represent us, yet able to bear the wrath of the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now we're talking here. This is Wretched Radio. We live in an era of soft speech, delicate phrases to make sure that we don't offend anyone. And whilst you and I as Christians need to be wise as serpents, meaning we're not slithering snakes, but that we understand the culture that we live in, we don't ever want to even come close to adjusting our message. But we do want to be mindful of customs, the way people speak, because we don't want to unnecessarily annoy somebody. And so it is, we should be mindful that we live in a culture where using straightforward language to say somebody is wrong is not well received. Does that mean we should stop telling them they're wrong? No. Should we be smart about how we present it without watering it down? Yes. Yes, we should. Unfortunately, what we see so much these days is conversation that has become very socially acceptable, even in Christian circles, when the words should sometimes be more, well, dare I say, harsh? There were times when Jesus spoke very forthrightly. It was a punch in the nose of the Pharisees. He did not mince words. That was not always the way that he spoke. He is gentle. He is lowly. But there are times when some subjects require a straightforward word. And I've been pondering this more lately because of a presentation that I listened to from a guy I hadn't heard of before, Finney, I hope I say it right, Karuvila. He was preaching on the issue of life, and he was encouraging people to perhaps stop watering down the language. Let's call abortion what it is. It is a grotesque genocide. It is a wicked activity. It is an abominable sin, and a nation that not only practices it, but also gives it a stamp of approval from the highest authorities in the land, that's a nation that is behaving wickedly. But we don't talk much like that anymore. And I think we would do well, without being ridiculous and fantastic and unnecessarily provocative in the worst sense of that word, we need to be calling this what it is. Speaking of that presentation, I'm going to share a snippet from you that was rather powerful. And maybe, just maybe, this will encourage you to remember what it is that we're dealing with when we're talking about the life issue, and maybe not fall into our contemporary trap of being soft and sensitive about what this is. This is from that speech from Finney talking about the life issue. Yeah. Well, this is basically, if you will, a letter from a baby in the womb to mom. Oh boy.
Month one, mommy. I am only 8 inches long, but I have all my organs. I love the sound of your voice every time I hear it. I wave my arms and legs. The sound of your heartbeat is my favorite lullaby. Month two, mommy. Today I learned how to suck my thumb. If you could see me, you could definitely tell that I am a baby. I'm not big enough to survive outside my home, though. It's so nice and warm in here. Month three. You know what, mommy? I'm a girl. I hope that makes you happy. I want you to always be happy. I don't like it when you cry. You sound so sad. It makes me sad, too, and I cry with you, even though you can't hear me. Month four. Mommy, my hair is starting to grow. It is very short and fine, but I will have a lot of it. I spend a lot of my time exercising. I can turn my head and curl my fingers and toes and stretch my arms and legs. I am becoming quite good at it, too. Month five. You went to the doctor today. Mommy, he lied to you. He said that I'm not a baby. I am a baby, mommy. You're a baby. I think and feel. Mommy, what's abortion? Month 6, I can hear that doctor again. I don't like him. He seems cold and heartless. Something is intruding in my home. The doctor called it a needle. Mommy, what is it? It burns. Please make him stop. I can't get away from it. Mommy, help me. Month 7, Mommy, I am okay. I'm in Jesus' arms. He is holding me. He told me about abortion. Why didn't you want me, Mommy?
Perhaps a needed reminder. The subject of abortion can be sanitized by the name alone. This is the dismembering of a whole innocent human being in the womb of its mother. Maybe we all need to examine how we're speaking about this issue to remind the world of its wicked behavior. And might I suggest, too, that there are some times when we need to be talking a little bit more forthrightly about labeling a sin. And so it is in the Southern Baptist Convention. They are going to be wrestling with the subject of role of women in the church. This was something that was resolved decades ago in the SBC with the conservative takeover. It was codified, I believe the year was 2000. The Baptist Faith and Message Statement, I think that's what it's called, where they articulated the office of elder is restricted to men only. But now, thanks to Saddleback Church, Rick Warren's mega center in Orange County, the issue is going to be debated. And it's going to be brought up almost certainly at the SBC convention in about a month. And if a conversation begins, if the leadership of the SBC says, well, then here's what we'll do. We'll just have a conversation. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to form a committee. Look out, SBC, you're in trouble. And maybe, just maybe, you need to be talking more like Owen Stran, a Southern Baptist, who responded to this news by addressing the people who attend Saddleback Church. If you're in that church, run. Get out. It's not a church. It doesn't meet the basic bare minimum standard. It is being led sinfully in an ongoing, unrepentant, well, even brazen way. Get out. Okay, I think I know where he stands on that. That's the type of language in these situations that is almost required for the day while watching the line of not being acerbic and obnoxious. I do believe that there is a way to speak forcefully without crossing the line into the land of Jerkville. Jesus did it. Paul did it. We need to find that line because I think right now we're just way away from where we should be with any sort of addressing of issues in a firm biblical manner. By the way, you should know Al Mohler has spoken out on it. He has not been unclear on this subject. The Southern Baptist Convention must not be unclear, he said, about our theological convictions and the ground of our cooperation. We cannot afford to be. Attempts to deny the issue will not work. That is a fact. They're going to have to deal with it. He wrote another editorial. It might have been taken from his podcast. But he was talking about the start of a bad movement. It's just that little, okay, we're going to have a conversation. No, that's not what happens. It just grows and it grows and it grows and it grows. And it's not just the SBC, by the way. Most Christian and Missionary Alliance leaders say qualified women should get pastor title too. CMA is an interesting evangelical, certainly orthodox denomination. There's some good brothers and sisters in the Christian and Missionary Alliance. There's also a branch in Canada, which is even increasingly putting women in the role of elders. I don't think it's been voted on a national level in Canada, but it's on the way. This is the way the slope always slips. Don't we have enough testimony from the Methodists, the Lutherans, liberal Presbyterians? It just keeps slip sliding away. And the CMA in America is starting to deal with the same thing, where the majority of the pastors polled said, let's start calling women in ministry pastors. And they might think, well, that's just not that big of a, it's just a title. Furthermore, they're doing some work that the pastor does. Form and function need to be considered here. If you're doing the work of a pastor, let's just say by preaching, then you're usurping the role of pastor. Well, doesn't that mean that women can't teach? Of course women can teach, as long as it's not usurping the role of pastor. And by giving the title, it gives entrance into the entire realm of duties of an elder of a church. This is just another way for liberalism to creep its way in. Might I encourage us all? Let's not fall in the opposite ditch that we appear to be flailing around in of soft speech. Let's not whiplash into becoming obnoxious with talking to and about people. We still do it in love, but we must be speaking the truth more. Lives depend on it. Eternities depend on it. If we're confused about how we should go about speaking truth and love, let's study our master who did it right every single time. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hanks. The California bill that would force retail stores to sell gender-neutral clothes and toys in a separate section is favored to pass a third committee this week. The bill requires stores with 500 or more employees that sell childcare items, clothing, or toys to maintain a gender-neutral section of the store with gender-neutral clothes and toys, according to the text of the legislation. Stores that fail to comply could be fined $250 for the first violation and $500 for each subsequent. But why stop with clothes and toys and childcare items? Just put anything you want to anywhere you want to put it. If you sell tires, put those over in the bread section. If you sell diapers, put those over by the greeting cards and stick electronics out in the garden section. I mean, who cares? There should be no order to anything at all anymore because, you know, it's offensive. The Islamist terror group Hamas fired hundreds of missiles at Jerusalem on Monday after hundreds of rioters were injured in clashes with Israeli police on Temple Mount. The missiles marked the first missile attack on Jerusalem since 2014. A spokesman for Hamas's armed wing insisted that the rocket attack was in reply to Israelis' crimes and violence in Jerusalem. The Palestinian Red Crescent says that more than 305 Palestinians were wounded in clashes, with at least 228 taken to hospitals during a riot when angered Muslims clashed with Israelis. Additionally, 21 officers were reportedly injured, including three who were admitted. Well, a British couple is in the headlines. They ignited debate earlier this week about children and gender when they claimed on a popular morning television program that their biological girl began identifying as a transgender boy at the age of 2. Yep, the parents said they initially showed the child pictures of female firefighters and soccer players so their child could see that a woman can be a strong woman, but at 2 years old, it didn't work. So they just went with it. As you can imagine, the segment received plenty of pushback on social media, with more than 2,000 comments to the story. I guess I'm kind of offended at this story, because when I was 2, I used to pretend that I was a dog, but my parents didn't let me be a dog. I see now they had it wrong all along. Now, Hindu nationalists in India are reportedly using COVID as an excuse to attack Christians even as they pray inside their homes. International Christian Concern reported that Hindu nationalists on Sunday attacked a pastor and his family in India for holding a family prayer service in their home by throwing stones, shouting obscenities, and tearing apart property. Similar incidents have been happening all over India. Last month, a pastor, his wife, and a member of their congregation was praying in their home when another group of Hindu nationalist supporters came and attacked them. The pastor, his wife, and congregation member suffered severe injuries in that attack, and it led them to be brought to a hospital for medical attention. Ironically, part of the attackers were the pastor's brother. As we tell you all the time, please make sure that you continue to pray for our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him personally.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
An example of mush. This is Wretched Radio. As we live in an era of very tenderized words, what's that Heinz 57 that you put it on the meat to tenderize it? You get it all softened up. That's our speech. We got to sprinkle it with tenderizer to make sure that nobody chokes. Whilst we don't want to become Westboro Baptists, which I don't think that I've ever heard that organization utter a sentence that wasn't just downright offensive on every level. Sharp edges with the voice and the tone, clear disdain, a dislove for, that's right, dislove for people. We don't want to be that, but we don't want to be the people who become complete squish bombs, like it appears the Vatican, which shouldn't come as a shock headline. Vatican weighs in on U.S. bishops' debate over denying communion to pro-abortion politicians. The U.S. Catholic Church, not everybody, by the way, in the Catholic Church in America wants to do this, but there are some who are saying we're going to meet, and if a politician is pro-abortion, they don't get communion, period. By the way, one who doesn't agree would be Bishop Robert McElroy of San Diego, said that denying communion to Catholic officials over their support for abortion was very destructive. Isn't it funny that we can use harsh words when it comes to attacking traditional thinking, values, morals, norms? But if you respond to this and say, hey, dude, I think you're selling out and you don't care much for the life of children. Hey. Quote, I do not see how depriving the president of or other political leaders of Eucharist based on their public policy stance can be interpreted in our society as anything other than the weaponization of Eucharist. There it is. A watered-down position. Why? Because our society, our culture, they're not going to dig it. I have to break the news gently to anybody who has not been persuaded yet. If you think sensitivity, thoughtfulness, soft speech, watered-down positions is going to spare you from being treated like you are a wicked abomination yourself because you hold on to anything traditionally biblical, it is not going to work. It won't work. For instance, let's go to jolly old England for a moment. I did not realize this, but the government apparently has one of the branches that will check out somebody who's really dangerous. If they are a terrorist, they go after them. A Christian school, which had recently introduced brand new LGBTQ policies, has a reverend at the school. He was an Oxford chaplain. The guy's not a dum-dum. He's an Anglican. And he delivered a sermon where he even says in his own words, I bent over backwards to try to tell people, hey, let's not be obnoxious. Let's not look down on people. But here's the story. The Reverend Bernard Randall was a chaplain at Trent College in Nottingham when, in 2019, he delivered a sermon encouraging students to love our neighbors as ourselves and love everyone equally. In other words, he was tenderizing his message. Not foolish to do that at some times. In the same sermon, though, he told the students, you do not have to accept the ideas and ideologies of LGBT activists. He also said that Trent, the school, exists to educate boys and girls according to the Protestant and evangelical principles of the Church of England. For his troubles, the school labeled him a terrorist and reported him to the government. The Trent School, which had implemented an LGBT curriculum, reported him to the government's counterterrorism watchdog Prevent, capital P Prevent, and then dismissed him later that year. Did his tenderized speech spare him? No, it didn't. Now, please hear me. I'm not suggesting that you don't include kind words, encouraging words, agreeing words, even soft words. I'm just saying that isn't all we should ever be delivering. And for the people who would then use our culture to encourage us to water down what the Bible is crystal clear about, well, they are failing to remember that we are the salt, we are the light, we are the ones who are supposed to be the foundation of truth in a culture. A local church should be a beacon of truth. And we, on occasion, and the occasions are increasing these days, we need to speak forthrightly. And if the group that is trying to encourage us to never talk like that thinks that they are somehow going to be protected, all they need to do is look as far as the individual, this Anglican in Great Britain. By the way, from the sermon, you should no more be told you have to accept LGBT ideology than you should be told you must be in favor of Brexit or that you must be a Muslim. Oh! And what did the police officer say? It was wholly inappropriate for a school and society in general. Really? Holding a differing opinion? If we think that we are going to somehow sweet talk our way out of holding on to historical positions, we're very confused, which is why you're going to see a great dividing happening. It's already going on, isn't it? You see churches getting themselves into position because they think, well, hell, maybe if we ordain women as pastors, that'll keep us out of hot water. Nope, no, it won't. Call yourself a church, put a cross on it. Just like Muslims who are indiscriminate when they go about terrorizing and murdering villages of people that are Christian, they don't, Roman Catholic, what are they, Eastern Orthodox? Ah, they're evangelical. Ah, they don't discriminate. It's Christian. And the same thing will be true for our world. Another example, let me take you to Finnish land. Fenmark, I believe isn't that, Finnish people are from Fenmark? I think I've got that. I was never good in geometry. Finnish bishop-elect charged over historic Christian teachings on human sexuality. Well, this individual said, according to the Bible and the Christian conception of man, homosexual relations are against the will of God, and marriage is intended between a man and a woman. That's what the Christian church has always taught and always will teach. And for that booklet that was published in 2004, same-sex marriage in Finland was not legalized until 2017. He's in hot water. The booklet argues that homosexual activity must be identified as sin on the basis of the teachings of Scripture. And for that, the individual is in trouble. The Reverend Dr. Timothy Quill, General Secretary of the International Lutheran Council, quote, "The implications of the decision to charge this fellow, these people who wrote the booklet, are clear. If the authorities are willing to do this to a respected pastor, reverend doctor, and bishop-elect, as well as a member of parliament and former minister of the interior, then that sends a message of fear and intimidation to everyone in Finland who follows the scripture's teaching on human sexuality." That's what we're seeing, isn't it? Isn't that what rioting and looting accomplishes? It scares you. You see behavior of people in the streets that is unrestrained, unbridled, and the police don't get involved, and it scares you. And you think, if I get on the wrong side of whoever that group is, yikes, so I think I'm just going to mums the word, and if necessary, say, yes, I love what you believe in. That's our age. And we would do well, just like it is with tragic events, one of the best things we can do for ourselves spiritually is to understand bad stuff is going to happen. And I'm not talking about coming persecution. I'm just talking about bad stuff happening. Family relationships, health issues, financial situations that are difficult. And if you do not have your sovereignty theology in place prior to those bad things happening, it doesn't mean you won't be able to endure it. It's just that you won't endure it as well. The process will be harder. And so if we have fixed in our brains, God is sovereign and he is good. He's both things. He's sovereign and he's good. And he's for me because I am in Christ. Therefore, even though the waves are rising, I can have stability in the storm because my captain tells me it's well with what I'm doing and it should be well with your soul. And if you have that in place before the winds start blowing, you'll deal with the storm better. And I think the same thing is true with the way that we are headed right now. where people are going to be increasingly looking at the church to shut you up. Maybe we should be practicing our responses now. Maybe we should find our line now. Maybe we should think through, all right, if they tell me you're going to lose your job if you stop saying that, what are you going to do? Might want to think it through and solidify your convictions. Make sure that they are in a correct level on the right shelf so that you don't find yourself in trouble for something that just isn't that important versus, no, that's just something I'll never surrender on. If we can get ourselves to the place where we recognize the times they have changed and we're going to be treated differently and we are going to be pressured to shut up and then affirm sinful lifestyles, we might want to start preparing our hearts and minds now. It might make it a little bit smoother. This is Wretched Radio. The Eastern Orthodox Church retains control of 80% of the population in Eastern Europe. And according to Paul Marty of Tomorrow Clubs, that ain't a good thing.
People are terrified that if they somehow cross their Orthodox priest, that he's not going to bless them. And their blessing is so important in their culture. They won't do funerals, they won't do weddings, they won't,
right.
They won't bless the home if they aren't behaving. They really exert a lot of control over the lives of the people.
Tomorrow Club's changing that statistic, opening up hundreds of weekly kids' meetings. They're called Tomorrow Clubs. The kids get loved on, they hear the gospel, and they learn they don't have to fear pastor and God. It's a magnificent ministry. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club, just $30 a month for 30 little disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Did you know Wretched has a brand new Bible study curriculum? Tell the truth, you didn't know. But now you do because I just told you. And listen, this Bible study curriculum is not like any that you ever encountered. The new Wretched Bible studies are interesting. They're relevant. And of course, if they're coming from Wretched, you know they're biblical. They're based on our resources, Drive by Marriage, Drive by Parenting, Drive by Theology, Herman Who, Jesus Unmasked, Stressed Out, It's Not Greek to Me, and Road Trip to Truth. You're going to find something that's perfect for your youth group, your adult small group, and even your own personal study at home. So if you're tired of the same old, boring, wretched Bible studies, then get yourself a Wretched Bible Study. Check all of them out right now by visiting wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. I promise you're going to be pleased and you're going to wonder to yourself, why in the world did they not do this sooner? wretched.org/study.
What does a young lady experiencing a crisis pregnancy sound like?
I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. Everybody wanted me to have an abortion.
Everybody wanted her to have an abortion, but she visited a preborn life center, saw a free ultrasound of her baby.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to be a great mom.
80% of the time, a woman in crisis sees an image of her child via a free ultrasound at a preborn center, they choose life. How many lives could you save per month? The answer is double. During the month of May, Preborn has received a generous gift of matching grants. Every dollar you give to Preborn will be matched. So $28 for an ultrasound will now provide two ultrasounds. How many lives could you save? Visit preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 800 AD. Charlemagne, the grandson of Charles Martel, is crowned emperor by the Pope on Christmas. He ushered in the Carolingian Renaissance, which advanced the church, education, and culture in the Holy Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Soft speech, soft positions, soft churches. This is Wretched Radio, preparing for what appears to be coming every Christian's way. Pressure to compromise. A lot of pressure to soften up and not speak out against these things because it is hurtful and intolerant, and even barbaric because of your antiquated positions. Therefore, shh, flesh. But it won't stop there, because sin is never satisfied, and because people are seeking to assuage their conscience, they look for affirmation. You must approve what we are doing. It's not enough to not speak out about abortion or gender issues. No, that's not enough. You have to affirm it. And for the churches that are thinking they are going to find safe harbor, it's funny. I was at a church website, and their faith statement, it includes what you would hope for. Bibliology starting first, it's always the foundation. Then you get into theology proper, the Trinitarian Godhead, Jesus Christ, his redemptive work, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. You have soteriology issues. You have even eschatological issues listed. And then at the end of this particular faith statement, it had marriage. Do you know why they had that? Do you remember just a few years ago when Obergefell was announced, churches went, uh-oh, we need to get it codified into our faith statement where we stand on this issue, because if we don't, we might be forced to accommodate it because we don't have it woven into the fabric of our theological life. Because the thinking 5 years ago was, if we can just show the government, the courts, that we have this is like a foundational teaching for us, then it's... They couldn't possibly say we're in the wrong. We'd have a religious exemption. I'm sorry, but I fear that those very same statements that got embedded into faith statements are going to be the very thing that gets a church in trouble these days, because it seems we've zoomed past that. And by the way, I think she's leaving, but the current press secretary, she was asked about some of these issues. And she did a chin boogie deluxe.
As you well know, the administration just lifted the ban on researchers using fetal tissue from elective abortions. And the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the leaders of the president's own faith, said in reaction, "It is deeply offensive, quote, to millions of Americans for our tax dollars to be used for research that collaborates with an industry built on the taking of innocent lives." How does the White House respond to that criticism?
That's a good question. By the way, the president, if you're not aware, is a supposedly practicing Roman Catholic, practicing poorly, but nevertheless.
Look, I think the White House respectfully disagrees, and we believe that it's important to invest in science and
science.
Look for opportunities to cure diseases, and I think that's what this is hopeful to do.
She blinded us with science and pragmatism. Hey, we can overlook Catholic teaching on how we treat human beings and stem cells because it's going to have a good end. So science says the end. That's the White House. Hold on. More indications of how they will be treating those people who say, do we really want boys running on the girls' track team?
The LGBTQ community is suing the U.S. Department of Education, saying they say the religious exemption rule under Title IX is unconstitutional. I don't know if you're familiar with that case, but what is the administration's response to that? In other words, will you stand behind that religious exemption?
Here we go. Will there be a religious exemption? There was a piece of legislation, by the way, that is going through. It's the health, maybe it's the NHS, that church, anybody who's getting funding, if somebody wants to do the gender business, you've got to do it. Okay, we'll kind of have a religious exemption sort of, but you got to do it. And a lot of people are squawking and going, uh-oh, there will be no religious protections. This press reporter asked the press secretary, hey, what about this Title IX business, including gender identity, and not having any sort of religious exemptions?
I'll have to check with our legal team. In general speaking, we support LGBTQ rights.
There it is right there. What came out first? Not religious rights. LGBTQ rights.
And believe that, especially for children, and children should be able to play sports.
An 8-year-old should be able to become a different gender, supposedly. And, quote, your president has your back.
Including children and members of the LGBTQ community, of course.
That religious exemption the White House stands behind?
I don't have anything more on it. I'll check with our team.
Yes, we haven't discussed that. and soft speech will not protect a church. Put a cross on your door. Well, churches have kind of done away with that too, but put a cross on your door and you're a target. More soft speech. The Vatican responding to the U.S. Roman Catholic bishops who want to say to any politician, if you endorse abortion, no communion for you. This is the Vatican. This is classic soft, well, let's let the culture determine where we stand on this thing. Quote, they warned that having a blanket policy to deny communion to pro-abortion politicians could present problems when seeking to maintain unity in the church. I see. So we're just going to overlook where somebody stands on the murdering of children. So we can have unity, of course. Can we all spell pragmatism? Quote, the congregation notes that such a policy, given its possibly contentious nature. Yes, we don't want to contend for the truth now, do we? It's only babies we're talking about here. It could have the opposite effect and become a source of discord rather than unity within the episcopate and the larger church in the United States. So we're playing some political chess here, and we've determined that the pieces on the field say, we should not be aggressive. We're not going to make a forward move with a bishop, no pun intended, and be out in front of this and tell people that if you believe that it is okay to rip little children limb from limb in the womb of their mother, we got a church discipline issue here. Forget communion. Forget not even being a member of this church. Nope. Not the Vatican. Well, it might just have the opposite effect. The opposite effect of what? It's growth. It's numbers. It's attrition they're concerned about, and therefore they adopt a pragmatic mindset toward the subject. Hey, how's this going to work out for the church? If you find yourself in conversations like that in your church, you're already in trouble. You've already gone down the road of pragmatism. More from the Catholic Church talking about their challenge. It would be misleading if such a statement were to give the impression that abortion and euthanasia alone constitute the only grave matters of Catholic moral and social teaching that demand the fullest accountability on the part of Catholics. Well, we don't want to give the impression that vacuuming children out of the womb is like the only moral issue in the Catholic Church. That'd be ridiculous, so we're not going to do it. That is nothing but squishy, watered-down dreck. Do we need to be obnoxious about it? No. But increasingly, I'm of the mindset personally that the backpedaling position of evangelical Christianity has not been healthy or good for us. And as is always the case, the tendency is to whiplash and just become about everything. Don't want to do that either. But I don't want to be a squish bomb, and I don't want to backpedal, and I don't want to be pragmatic, and I don't want to tenderize and coddle thinking that is so bad. Have we crossed that bridge yet into being able in our own hearts to adopt and accept the language of Romans 1? We see political leaders who are biblically described as fools, just foolish. And I think that if we don't cross that bridge, I think then we can develop a snarky attitude. Oh, they're just, they're wrecking everything. No, they're fools, which means that they're really, really lost like we were. And they really, really need regeneration. In China, they are now restricting audio Bible players and online Bible sales. A Christian businessman, whose name I can't pronounce, at one time produced and sold most of the Bible players in China. But 2018, he was detained and charged with unlawful business operation. See what they did there with words? Four other Christians are now on trial for manufacturing audio Bible players. Authorities recently arrested the owner of an online Christian bookstore and launched an extensive investigation into everyone who was purchased from the store. Government officials confiscated books and interrogated Christians who had done nothing more than shop at the online Christian bookstore. That motivation, exists in the hearts of unbelievers globally. And maybe, just maybe, Christian, as we see the storms of brewing, that we batten down the hatches of our hearts and get our theology really crystallized, what our convictions are, where we simply cannot waver, and figure out how we speak as we are commanded to do, and it's no easy task, truth in love. That is the calling of our day. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.